Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
We are back. Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. Had to get some football in right there, Niners. You know one thing as we look here on this, on the text line, 707 says, both the 49er fans, team, and media need a big humble pie split three ways. LT and Napa. LT, I don't know why.
Put your name on it, too. I love that.
I don't know why, but I'm going to guess that you're a Raiders fan. I don't know why, but I just have a feeling you're a Raiders fan. Let
Raiders
me know.
Did used to have their camp in Napa. So
let me know
sense.
If you're a Raiders fan, because that sounds very Raiders.
One more time. Can you read it to me one more time?
Both the 49er fans, team, and media need a big humble pie split three ways. That's from LT in Napa. Mm. So I think he's saying
you guys were
feeling yourself a little too much. So a Niner fan wouldn't say that.
No, definitely not.
So I'm pretty sure you're a Raider fan. LT, let me know if you're a Raider fan or not. One thing, as we get ready for or get into Kings talk, one thing that we did not mention talking Niners is the rise, the return, as we are a day before Halloween from the crypt. Trey Lance conversations have returned.
What?
Yes.
Oh, this, I missed this.
There is a content creator, Ryan G. Hensley, who has typically leaned more Trey, right? And you see Brock struggling a little bit, Sam Darnold, that whole thing. All he did was post a picture of Trey Lance holding a football. Yeah, I don't think he said anything. Yeah. And it has gotten quoted all around. And that's really the question. If Brock is having these growing pains, is there any part of you or the fan base that thinks, I mean, if Brock is going to have these growing pains with his limited ceiling, why didn't we just keep Trey?
I think it's because it kind of goes to what you were saying earlier, where I just think Brock was a whole lot more ready now. Like, yes, we're seeing some struggles now that we probably would have seen from Trey in the first set of games. Like, maybe it's just reversed. Maybe Trey has a bad 3 to 5 first games and then figures it out in this middle chunk, whereas Brock clearly was more ready those first 5 games and now has struggled. But I just feel like with Trey, it was just a lot more of a dice roll. And with how many dice rolls the Niners have already taken this year with Steve Wilks, with Jake Moody, or now you can even throw Brock Purdy into that equation, as he's still a rookie or a young quarterback in this league, a young, inexperienced quarterback relatively in this league. Like, those are already enough risks you're taking when you're trying to win a Super Bowl. You're going to throw in the fact that you're throwing in a guy who's probably not ready and going to actually be figuring it out on the fly. Just feels like a risk too much for me. I don't have an issue with it. Like, I think Trey wasn't ready to play football right now.
Well, this is why they made the move. Because if Trey still was here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're having that conversation
nightmare.
Last week.
It would
week.
Be a complete nightmare. People would have been, get Trey in there, and that's what he didn't want. Right. So I think, for better or for worse, Kyle Shanahan just said, hey, man, we're going to ride with Brock. I think we'll be okay, but either way, it would be way too toxic to have Trey on this roster.
Could you imagine?
Because there are going to be growing pains with Brock. We don't know what, but can you imagine this week?
That's what I'm saying.
With a bye week. A bye week.
And you had this concussion stuff with Brock. Yeah. You had this. Could you imagine, if last week it would have been, oh my gosh, I think Trey is actually going to get an opportunity this week. I think it's going to happen. And then at the last second, pulls the curtain and he puts Brock back in. And then Brock has that performance. They lose. And then, you say head into the bye week.
You probably have to start Trey.
That's why you said it perfect. That is why they traded Trey Lance, was to avoid that situation we just laid out, because right here, right now, we would be talking about, look, I know Brock was good these first couple weeks, but what we've seen, you're not getting any worse if you're throwing Trey Lance out there, or you're not going to have that many more mistakes if you throw Trey Lance out there. Why not give him a chance? You never gave him a real chance. Now would be a great time to give him a chance. And we're not having that conversation when it comes to Sam Darnold. I tell you that right here.
No, I think there are a couple people that think, hey,
maybe Sunday would have been an opportunity.
That would have been the opportunity. And towards the end of the game, I don't think Brock got checked out, and I haven't seen anything yet. But that he got
right,
tackled.
I saw that. Ball got, I didn't see that in real time.
His head got whipped down, kind of similar to some of the hits that Tua took last season. I don't think anything has really come of it. But and they do have a bye week. Yeah. But yeah, something to keep an eye on because Brock isn't the biggest guy in the world.
Nope.
Right? And he is doing a lot. He's doing a little bit too much right now. You want to keep running around and, you know, playing backyard football. You got to be careful with that stuff, man. You got to be careful. And part of that, to be fair, talking about the blame pie, is that offensive line.
Yep.
Right? I don't think Brock necessarily wants to be doing that per se. But if your offensive line is breaking down, you got to get out of Dodge. And that's what Brock has been doing.
It's been a good job of being mobile, too. I know I was kind of trolling the
10-yard split.
I was trolling the 10-yard split with Lamar. But, you know, he does a really good job of escaping the pocket. And he is, like, especially for, like, that 10 to 15-yard chunk, he can be pretty lethal with his legs for that 10-yard
sprint. That's all you really need.
Yeah,
that's all you really need. Yeah,
We don't need 90-yard Terrell Pryor runs. Shout out Terrell Pryor, who's definitely going to be on our list of guys that we thought were going to be real.
Unfortunately, he went to Ohio State.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's just, once you go to Ohio State,
that was the death call right there.
That's just not going to work. All right.
CJ Stroud.
Takeaways from the weekend. The Athletic had a nice write-up.
Yes,
the
sir.
Four takeaways. So we'll get to that, and then we will give our takeaways. And 916-339-1140, what are your takeaways from the Kings weekend as we get ready for Beamin' or Dreamin' at 12:45?
Ooh, I forgot about that.
Let's get to those takeaways from the Athletic.
So shout out Hunter Patterson for the Athletic. We'll definitely have him on sometime very, very soon. He wrote his takeaways from this weekend. Of course, the Kings played Golden State on Friday and the Lakers last night. Hunter's first big takeaway is the biggest and most obvious one. Fox's absence leads to Monk's mastery. And that's a great way of putting it because, first off, De'Aaron was fantastic, even leading into his injury and post-injury. I almost didn't think he was hurt because of the way he was playing after he came back from the injury. I saw him, like, leap 5 feet. It felt like he jumped 10 feet in the air to close out on the corner.
Hit
a couple threes. Hit an and one, if I'm not mistaken, on AD. So he looked really healthy. Obviously couldn't finish the game. And Malik was just incredible in that fourth quarter and in that overtime. Really just sealed the game for the Kings. So that was definitely a big takeaway. The fact that, you know, even if De'Aaron doesn't have it going in the fourth quarter, Malik is more than capable of kind of picking up the load. And he's going to have to if De'Aaron's going to miss the next couple games. Mm-hmm. It'll be really interesting to see if Mike Brown maybe throws Malik Monk into that starting lineup. Is he going to throw Davion? Is Malik just going to play more minutes and be that primary ball handler? So that's going to be really interesting to just kind of monitor with De'Aaron out.
So in the press conference, Mike Brown was asked about that. He said he really wasn't even just talking about, I think, when De'Aaron's out, but just in general with Malik Monk. And he said that Malik Monk, what he's able to do, he thinks he can be a high-level player two ways. He says when Malik Monk locks in defensively, he can be really good. So we're on Malik. We know that what he can do offensively, but he can also be elite defensively.
Love to see it.
And Malik Monk is the number one rated player when it comes to the pick and roll.
Really?
He is the number one player in the NBA. And guess who the number one roller is in the NBA?
I would guess Domantas Sabonis.
JaVale McGee.
Oh, of course. JaVale's
McGee.
Been really good on the roll. Yeah.
They've been
feeding him on that pick and roll, too.
So, we've seen some misses, but we've seen a lot more makes when it comes to what they've been able to do. And I think that Malik Monk and his growth, I know Mike Brown also said that he likes Malik off the bench for that spark.
Yeah.
And you're not going to have it if you start him. Mm-hmm. So
I'd be surprised if he enters the starting lineup. He's been very, very adamant about bringing Malik.
It might be Davion.
It more than likely will be. And it'll be interesting also to see if Davion can pick up the scoring load as he finally scored in game three. So should be just an interesting thing to kind of monitor as De'Aaron's health is wavering at the moment. But doesn't seem anything too major, which is the important thing. Number two thing that our guy Hunter Patterson points out is Kevin's Depog chain finds stride right on cue. Did you know about the defensive player of the game chain before this season? Yeah, it's I had forgotten about it.
Okay.
It was a massive, massive part of last year. Mm-hmm. After every single win, they pass out this chain. And Kevin Herter, a lot more times than not, it's not actually defensive player of the game chain.
It's just
involved. It's more of a player of the game chain.
I remember seeing a chain. But there's so many chains and turnover, and chairs that I can't keep up. Okay, well, I got it now. Yeah.
So shout out Kevon, who, you know, got, I think the biggest thing Kevin Huerter did yesterday was get two massive rebounds in overtime. So that was great to see. And as we have to head to break, I'll just run through these last two. Murray's bond with Mike Brown continues to grow. He talks about that clip we played earlier where Mike Brown and Keegan Murray had that fun moment and didn't end up subbing Keegan Murray out. And the last and final takeaway that Hunter has from this weekend, again, this is from The Athletic, Vezenkov's learning curve through three games.
Yes.
And just essentially talking about how Sasha, on the defensive end, obviously has some things that he needs to work out, but it hasn't been terrible. It hasn't been a complete liability. He's not getting, you know, turnstiled every single time he's on the perimeter. He's done a good job of keeping guys in front of him. And then, of course, the offense as well. In his first three games, you can't expect the dude to go out there and average 25 points per game. But just being able to contribute in the limited minutes he's had, 8 points in the first game, 10 points in the second, and then 11 in the third. Mm. You love to see him hitting down triples. And also his cutting ability, I think, has been very, very well sold, I guess, if that's the right way of saying that.
Yeah. All right, break time. That was from The Athletic, their four takeaways. But we want to know what your four takeaways were from this weekend with the Kings. 916-339-1140. And Chris and I will give ours as well. 1245, beaming or dreaming. Don't miss it. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
We are back. Sacktown Sports, Styles and Watkins, taking you up to 2 p.m., third official show. First Monday show, right? We came in on Thursday. And actually, even when we were going through this whole process and I was doing shows and we were getting all the paperwork figured out and all those things, I don't think I ever did a Monday show with. I think I did,
no,
Monday,
you did,
I did Tuesday, Wednesday, then Thursday, Friday.
So you did the day after media day, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
So
that's
that
right. So first Monday show.
Wow.
Yeah. Happy Monday to you.
Yeah. Happy Monday.
First Monday.
There's no case of the Mondays here. I'll tell you that much.
Sure. I've got some Mondays, but it's fine. It's more getting up on Mondays.
Okay.
The toughest
I was dragging a little bit.
It's just like, do I have to?
Worst day of the week, right?
You know what? I'm glad you said that.
Okay.
Because it's not my worst day of the week. And I don't even think it's particularly close.
Alan feels like Tuesday is the worst day of the week.
Tuesday is the worst day of the week.
There you go. Yeah.
It's the worst. Monday, you're spending half your day talking to people about what you did over the weekend.
Sure.
Yeah. Then during football
dragging
season.
Dragging your feet.
Yeah. Everybody's dragging.
Yeah.
During football season, you still got one more game.
Sure.
Okay. Wednesday, you're halfway through the week. It's hump day.
Sure.
Right.
Thursday is obviously Friday Eve, right? And Friday is Friday. Tuesday, what are we going to do with Tuesday?
Work, I guess. Yeah, that's a really good point. It's
eat
just
some
kind
tacos.
Of, just kind of,
I eat tacos every day.
It's kind of the day you just kind of put your head down and you just try and get through.
There's nothing to look forward to on Tuesday.
A lot of good trivia on Tuesdays. That's all I can.
That's a good point.
I can dig up here.
Yeah.
But other than that,
you're into trivia.
Trivia's and tacos.
Are you good?
Love trivia.
Are you good?
You know, I don't cheat, and I feel like I don't make the I don't get on the
every
podium.
Every time you lose, you just assume that
she's like everyone's cheating.
There's so many trivias that are utilizing like your phones, and you know, I just don't trust people. So, yeah.
Well, it depends, right? If it's for a legit prize, then sure. But if you're cheating and it's just for, you know, some gummy bears or something like that, you got issues.
Yeah.
You got issues. So you're playing, like, high-stakes trivia.
Yeah. I mean, it's usually,
like,
you know, it's like, yeah, exactly,
to
merchandise
place.
To the place that I'm already, you know, going to. So for people, it's like, okay, this is going to buy a round of drinks
or,
like, you know, my chicken wings, my boneless barbecue chicken wings.
Yeah. Oh, no, no.
What a callback.
No.
What a callback.
Yeah, that is.
So, no.
All right.
But, yeah, I love trivia.
I could see that. I don't know how good, but I could see that.
I don't
you know what
I
they
would.
Need for when you do the trivia?
Yeah.
You ever go to one of those high, I think I was. Did I say Chris Rock when they lock your phones?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
When it's time for
trivia.
That's what I was thinking. I'm
lock them bad boys up.
But that's how you answer the questions. It's all done digitally.
Oh, really? Seems, I did one like yes. last week. It's still paper out there.
No, this one was wild. Like, in like, you know, they do have different formats. So like, you know, there's a video, there's different, like plug and play. Nah. Yeah, it's terrible. Nah. So I don't trust
it. Nah. Yeah, well, I hope, you know, I hope people are, you know, have some integrity.
Yeah, to me, trivia is like bingo, where it's just like, just keep it, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right. Like, we don't need it to be digital or virtual. No. Like, we can just have the piece of paper and write your answers.
Yep, let me get a pen.
Doesn't need to be any more difficult.
Takeaways from the weekend with the Kings. Warriors game, I don't want to say just throw it out because it happened, but the Warriors game means a lot less to me now that the Kings didn't let it snowball and lose to the Lakers. Mm-hmm. When it got dicey, right? And we were very excited. I was very excited. Baby's first beam. I got to see my first beam. And it was all fine and good, but
I thought you meant your baby.
No, no. You never heard that? Like, baby's first something,
yeah,
but it's
of
just
course.
Yeah, for Simone sure. knows. No, but not the baby.
I just assumed when you said baby's first beam, I was like, okay, that's so sweet. Your family got to see the beam for the first time.
No.
Me.
No, me. I'm the baby. I'm not da baby, but I'm the baby in this situation. But I will bring her so she can get her first.
There you go.
Too. So we almost didn't get to that beam because it got a little dicey. Mm-hmm. And this offense, it's not really turnovers. It's just missed shots, right? And it's just bad decisions. Mm-hmm. Bad decisions.
At bad times.
Yeah. At bad times. And Malik Monk and JaVale McGee, it can be really good. Mm-hmm. And then it can be not so good.
Yep.
Most of the time it is good.
Yeah.
But it's almost
like you have to deal with the bad to get the good.
Yes,
you know?
It's all going to be a part of it. And you had that going. Keegan with a kind of a quiet game as well.
Strange game,
He had some shots later in the game, I believe, once De'Aaron went out. But a fairly quiet game for Keegan. Sabonis fouls out. That's something that has to stop happening.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because you're just...
They need him.
Because what happens
they
when
need
he,
to have him
What
out
happens
there.
When he fouls out?
We saw last night. I mean, they threw Sasha Vezenkov in there at center.
Yeah.
They closed the game with HB and Keegan at center. And then in overtime, they went to JaVale. But even that, I don't think they really wanted to do that.
They don't have a choice. And so Alex Len just can't, you know.
Same story as last year, I guess, where it's just Alex will, whenever they feel like, whenever Mike Brown feels like he's exhausted all of his options, he'll go to Alex Len. But I'm shocked that we didn't, especially see him on a night like last night when Sabonis fouls out and, you know, the Lakers are having their way on the rebounding front. I would have guessed that last night would have been a great time to throw Alex Len in there. I don't know. I feel like my big thing with this team, my big takeaway is, much like we were kind of talking about the Niners and how we were kind of, the Niners thought that they would kind of elevate above all the mess and, you know, they would be immune to all this losing, essentially.
Right.
I think what I learned from this weekend is the Kings, I was hoping entering this season that the Kings would take advantage of the continuity and take advantage of the fact that not a lot is new and they were playing the Warriors where a lot was new and the Lakers where, you know, they had to figure out, I think they're still figuring out, you know, where their minutes should properly be dispersed. I think what I learned is that the Kings are more so in that pack where I think the general consensus was the Kings are in that pack. A lot of people kind of had them at the bottom of that pack where it is like the Lakers, the Clippers, mainly everybody in the Pacific Division. I just feel like the Kings are actually in that pack, which is fine. You know, it's good that you know, Memphis is 0-3 right now. They're about where I expected them to be without Ja, but I kind of was hoping that the Kings would be able to elevate above this, and they're 2-1. It's not like
I mean,
I'm drawing any crazy conclusions, but it's just kind of clear to me that the Kings are not more prepared or more so know who they are more so than any of these other, you know, teams that have questions.
Yeah, it's still an extremely small sample size and still another opportunity. I mean, if the Kings, and I think they're going to have something for the Warriors, unfortunately.
I think so too, on Wednesday.
More than likely, De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
But I mean, Malik Monk did not play that well against the Warriors on Friday during the playoffs. He was cooking.
Yeah, and he's got ultimate green light if De'Aaron's not playing.
He's got ultimate green light, and his shiftiness is something that I don't know that the Warriors are going to be able to handle in large spurts. I know he is number one in the pick and roll. That is Malik Monk. But don't fall in love with it because I don't know how much you're going. I know the Warriors are undersized, but also you can get by them too. Mm-hmm. So don't settle for it. Don't force anything.
Right.
Assuming we're just – and this is not even to say that Malik is going to start. That's also – just about the amount of minutes that we think.
I would imagine he's going to get 35 or so minutes. Yeah, if I had to guess. I mean, that's, you know, I think last night he ended up with something near the, last night he only played 24 minutes, which is actually really crazy. But I mean, De'Aaron played 34, Herter played 36, Harrison played 38. I would imagine Malik will probably be in that range if De'Aaron's not going to be able to go.
Yeah, and it's another situation again. Harrison better yet last night than he was on Friday, just in terms of aggressiveness and making his presence felt.
Yeah.
But if De'Aaron's out, we don't know for how long.
Yep.
We're going to need everybody, hands on deck.
Everybody's got to step up.
And I think obviously it'll be a lot of Keegan Murray and obviously a lot of Sabonis. And we talked about Malik Monk, but Harrison is still that kind of change of pace guy that I think the Kings could use as well to get going. So we'll see what happens there. All right, get into a break. When we get back, our thoughts on the opponents of the Kings, the Warriors, and the Lakers. And we have some sound from Malik Monk that talks about their lineup decision. That and more when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Sacktown Sports, Styles and Watkins, taking you up to 2 p.m. Kings, Niners, all that good stuff. As we get you through this Monday, which is, for me, ranked second worst day of the week. You know what else is kind of rough? I would say this is a little bit more niche, but I would also say Sunday after about 7 o'clock.
Yes.
I knew you were going to put that down and I'm picking it up.
You know, the Sunday scaries is real.
Yes.
I would say, like it's
such
that,
a bummer.
Yeah. Like that 12 to 15 hour span from like 7 till really like 10.
Whenever you go to
Monday.
Bed.
Yeah. It's rough. I can't with. Yeah, it's the Sunday night, Monday morning that if I could just eliminate it from the week, I feel like it wouldn't hurt so bad. It's that Sunday scary period and the Monday realization period.
Yes. You know.
Can do without it.
And the.
It hurts.
And the Kings gave the Lakers some Sunday scaries.
Oh, yeah.
As they're able to take care of the King in a great game overtime while missing their two all-stars, all NBA players.
Right.
And you talk about depth. How many other teams could beat LeBron, AD, and the crew without not just their two best players, because if it's a team that's not good, then your two best players aren't very good, but two guys that are top 20 players in the league in De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis, and
they
you're able to get it done.
They didn't score at all in the overtime. I'm looking at it right now. De'Aaron Fox did not put up a single point, and Domantas Sabonis did not put up a single point in that overtime period. And you're right. Like the fact that Malik was able to step up, he hit 11 in that overtime period. You know, Kevin Herter was able to knock down that three, and even Keegan's look that was at the end of regulation, I thought was a really, really good look
that
I'm willing to live with 10
erupted.
Out of 10.
Erupted.
It would have been nuts. there wouldn't have been a beam to go off because the roof would have separated from the building, and there wouldn't have been a beam up there.
We all would have just
yeah, I think we all would. It would have been
beam.
Like this is the end for those who have seen it, when like everyone's like getting raptured into whatever the heavens.
Yeah,
it would have been the same with just an entire Golden One Center. Every Kings fan would have just levitated up into the sky.
And Keegan was asked about that look. He said he looked good. He said he thought it felt good, but was just happy that they were able to get the W. Manny Too Legit on the YouTube chat. And shout out to the YouTube chat.
They're going.
Been holding us down.
Yes, sir. We appreciate
all day.
It.
So however you're listening, whether you're in the car, whether you're at home chilling, thank you for tuning in. Styles and Watkins' third official show. Manny Too Legit chiming in, talking about the JaVale dunk. But the question is, was it on LeBron or the business decision for LeBron to get out of the way? LeBron did a run by.
Yes.
Because he did not want to get dunked on.
No. It was a great move by JaVale, by the way, because I think it was end of the first quarter. It was either end of the first quarter or end of half. And everyone there was think there was like 5 seconds left on the inbound. Everyone was expecting JaVale to get the inbound, do a nice little dribble handoff to De'Aaron, and then De'Aaron take it the rest of the way.
Right.
JaVale, knowing that everyone knows that, does the counter, fakes it to De'Aaron, has a wide open lane, and you just see the C's part. And yeah, LeBron made the ultimate business decision. Mm-hmm. I don't think it counts as being dunked on because he intentionally just kind of slides on through there like a, you know, like somebody in the, you know, old Temptations days or something, with a nice little slide.
David Ruffin or somebody.
And just made sure to get out of there. But JaVale caught him. You know, if shout out any cameramen who are sitting courtside, you could probably get a couple flicks of JaVale with LeBron in frame.
Yeah. Or maybe a photo might be better because it's frozen when he's right across from each other. But that's just classic LeBron.
Yeah.
You know, I gave an effort, but it was not a real effort.
No.
It wasn't. That was my first time getting to see LeBron in real time, live. And
better late than never, but never late is also better.
But also, I did get to see that dunk. It was a fast break when JaVale, that must have been in the fourth, right?
Can we not talk about JaVale's Vlade tip, please?
That, and it almost looked like he didn't know that it was
what
LeBron.
He was doing.
Or he did also used to play with LeBron, because that was the best outlet pass I think the Lakers had all game.
It was incredible. It was a great outlet pass right to LeBron James.
And yeah.
I can't stand the fact that, I mean, if the Kings would have lost that game, that play would have just been the most ironic in the worst way possible, with like JaVale tipping it against the Lakers. Mm-hmm. You quite literally have Vlade Divac sitting courtside, the infamous Vlade tip to that guy on the Lakers. We don't say his name here. It was not great from JaVale in that moment, but it was a cool moment for LeBron for sure. I'm glad that shout out Frankie Carticelli, who called it as LeBron was in the air. He was like, he did the same dunk that he did in game one. And I don't know if you saw the picture, but it was a really, really cool side by side picture of LeBron game one of his career. And then in year 21, same day, 20 years.
Oh
later.
Yeah. Well, they're going to tell
that
us
mentioned.
About it.
I don't know if you got, yeah, I don't know. No, you were actually in the press conferences after the game. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It got brought
LeBron popped up into the press conference because we were waiting for Coach Mike to show up, and LeBron just popped in and was like, "Oh, yeah, can't stand this guy? Me neither." And then just closes the door. And someone said, "Was that LeBron?" And that was it. That was it. We don't know. I think he was talking about Coach Mike Brown. I don't really know. I have no clue. So, yeah, that was nice to see. And it was also nice to see the Kings and kind of what they had going. But you mentioned it earlier about the different lineups and going smaller. And Malik Monk was asked about that. And he had some things to say. And you know how Malik Monk is. He's a very passionate guy.
Oh, yeah.
So let's hear from him.
You know, Malik, Domas fouled out there late in the fourth quarter, and Mike Brown went with an incredibly small lineup against a very tall team. Can you talk a little bit about kind of how you guys approached that from a rebounding standpoint and how that small ball actually played to an advantage for you going down the stretch?
Oh, yeah. We was able to get AD away from the rim. And he's a big old presence down there. So when he's away from the rim, it's easy to attack and just make plays. But Mike going with the small ball unit, it just shows that he trusts us a lot and that we got a lot of dogs out there.
Maliki hit a big three as an answer to one of the threes that the Lakers hit. I think it was the LeBron three. What was the thought process on that shot that you made? Because it was a pivotal one in the final outcome.
To hit it and yell at AD face. Nah, man. Right in his face. Right in his face.
How sweet is this for you to be able to pull off a win like this against your former team?
Oh, yeah, man. It's good. Especially with AD, man. He talks a lot. Bron, those my vets, man. They taught me a lot when I was over there. But it's always good to beat them.
Malik, I keep telling people, Malik means king in Arabic.
Yes, sir. Every time. Tonight, every time. Every time. Appreciate it.
Congratulations on the win. Thanks for joining.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That's just good stuff.
I love
there.
That. Malik's the best. Malik is the absolute best quote. It's incredible.
Gotta be.
I love he said that before, but like he loves to say, like, we got some dogs in this locker room. Simone, yes. I love that so much. I also do really love him and AD's like fake beef that they got going on.
Yeah.
I can't remember what AD said something hilarious about Malik last year towards the end of last year, and it was so funny. But those two's relationship is awesome.
Yeah.
Love to hear that. So hopefully one day Malik can recruit AD to come over to SAC.
You sure you want that?
No.
I know.
I'm definitely not.
I know Carmichael, Dave, and Jason Ross were talking about some trades and Ben Simmons and Zion Williamson.
Yeah.
You don't need it right now.
No.
You don't need it right now.
No. The Kings are chilling right
You're
now.
You're rolling, and we're rolling. Got to get to a break, though. And when we get back, it is time. I see Simone on the phone lines right now. Because that's right, it's 12:45. We made you wait long enough. Our second installment, or beaming or dreaming.
Yep.
Are you beaming or dreaming? One more time. If you're beaming, you think this team can go further than they did last season. If you're dreaming, that means you're just dreaming about it happening. It ain't going to happen. Are you beaming or dreaming? Line up the calls. Line up the texts. Let us know. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local. This is Sacktown Sports.
We're back. Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. 12:45. So you know what that means. It's time for beaming or dreaming. Now, last week when we premiered this segment,
yep,
I was beaming, you were beaming,
yep.
Kyle, who was our producer, was dreaming.
Yeah.
Text line and the call line and the YouTube chat, most of them were also beaming, but you do lose to the Warriors.
Yep.
You get the Lakers, but De'Aaron goes down, and we have some things that Kevin Huerter had to say about that injury history and that narrative about the Kings getting quote-unquote lucky based on injuries last year. But let's get to it. I see some of you right now. I'm going to start with my guy across from me, Chris Watkins.
Hi. How you doing?
On this beautiful Monday.
Yeah. Glorious.
Are you beaming or are you dreaming?
I think at this moment in time...
I don't like that tone.
Oh no, Simone, I hear music in the back.
I'm dreaming music.
Oh.
Simone read my mind. Because even though I was beaming last time we did this, I am dreaming, unfortunately, right now.
Why?
At this moment in time. It's going to fluctuate. I'm going to go back and forth. It's just, I mean, it's... Like I said earlier, I kind of had this expectation that the Kings were going to be at a different level than everybody else at this moment in time. And this is not something, I'm not putting my stamp on it, but if you're asking me how I feel right now, man, this is a banger. This is a banger of a song. I think the loss to the Warriors was, I think the Kings will probably look better on Wednesday, but the fact that they weren't able to kind of, narrative-wise, take that opportunity and run with it. Obviously, so much energy in that game. It was the home opener. You're playing a team that you're incredibly familiar with. Mm-hmm. You want to make a statement. And just the fact that they weren't able to kind of take advantage of all of those things working in their favor emotionally and translate it onto the court and miss as many shots as they missed and look at times as bad as they looked. It was just disappointing, and I'm not, again, I don't want this to, it's, even though this segment is meant to be a bigger picture feeling,
sure,
it's more of my right here, right now feeling, and yes, the win against the Lakers was good, but it also definitely had some downs in it as well, as the Kings just, again, didn't look like they were on a different level than the Lakers.
Wow. Wow.
So, I'm dreaming.
There you go. Get some auto-tune on that. You'll be good to go.
Oh, it'll be fire.
The YouTube chat, Amid Rock, is beaming.
Good.
Andrew Cardwell, last year's record through three games, 0-3.
That's a great point.
Beaming is the only answer.
I think that's the comment of the day.
Yeah?
0-3 okay. Through this point last year.
Simone?
I was going to say, I should actually omit from this category because I wasn't here or listened to the first one, but I think I get the gist of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean... Are we kind of concerned about the ankle, about missing our?
It's definitely our something point? Where it's like, you
can
know,
we be beaming?
It's a little Joe Burrow-esque where it's like, I'd rather this not happen literally in the beginning of the season. It's kind of one of those things. I don't know if it ever actually gets better until you just let it heal. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem like they're going to sit De'Aaron for like 3 weeks to let it properly heal. So I hear you on that, Simone, for sure.
So are you catching Z's? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. We're dreaming right now.
I think right now.
We're dreaming.
People.
It fluctuates. It can go back. And we're going to do this segment a lot.
Just wake up, you know?
You just inception. JaVale just yammed on the king. What are we talking about here? What are we talking about? All right. So we got two dreaming. The chat, we got two beaming. Here's my answer.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm beaming, but we're going to do this after they play the Warriors. And if they lose to the Warriors again, it'll be tough because there's no De'Aaron. So I don't know how fair that is. But if they lose to the Warriors again, we might have some issues.
Yeah.
Especially if they get handled.
Yeah. Because at that point, you have to wonder, is there something about this Warriors team that this team just can't get over? And frankly, there's really nothing besides 30, there's nothing really special about that Warrior team that should be insurmountable. And so, if they can't figure it out, if they continue to look rough on the offensive end against Golden State on Wednesday, it starts to raise some questions. I think, by the way, like we're in this to be critical, to, you know, pick things apart. I have no problem with all the fans being beaming. Like, I think fans should still feel positive. Again, like that comment said, they were 0-3 at this point last year. We saw how last year turned out. There's no reason to freak out about anything, but there's just some things that have happened along this way so far that are concerning. Just a little concerned.
Yeah,
it's not end all be all.
No,
look like a different team than what we all expected, but it's just, you know, definitely don't, you know, like the Denver Nuggets right now, if I'm not mistaken, they're also 3-0 and have the largest point differential in the NBA. I think they're beating teams by an average of like 18 points per game. That's a bit much. The Nuggets are 3-0, point differential plus 16.3. That's of course absurd.
Yeah.
But I would have liked the Kings to kind of be, you know, plus 8. Plus, you know, and they've had some tough opponents, but I just would have liked them to see them kind of handle victories a little bit easier so far.
Well, I think that
very early,
the
very
offense early so far hasn't necessarily looked like it did last season.
And that's another thing. Right?
But I'd also say that the defense looks
it's a good point.
A little bit better.
If I'm not mistaken, I looked at the advanced numbers, and the Kings are 18th right now in defensive rating, which is not 24.
That's where you need to be. Now, here's the problem. If your defense gets a little bit better, but...
The offense
isn't where it was last season, that could be tough. But, you know, it's still early. I think Vezinkov, as we've said, that was one of the takeaways in the Athletic piece. He's really been a little bit of a surprise. Mm-hmm. I mean, a good surprise. Yeah. And defensively, he's getting after it.
That is
the effort that we talk about when you say, okay, some people are kind of built better to play defense, but can you just give an effort?
Yeah.
And I think that is part of this as well. He feels to me like he is at least putting forth as much effort as he can.
Definitely. And you can see it. Like, he's a step slow for sure. He definitely isn't blessed with natural athleticism.
He's trying his darndest.
And that's really, I mean, it's a similar story with Sabonis. Like, Sabonis is not the most athletically gifted guy out there, but he gives his 100% on defense, and you just got to live with it. Like, it's not terrible. It's definitely not, you know, he's not Dikembe Mutombo back there, but he's trying his hardest, and for the most part, he's not just getting blown by, and he's not, you know, seeing guys blow by him and just standing there with his hands in the air. Like, he's going to always try and stay into the play, and that's really all you can ask for, because, you know, again, if a guy's just going to be physically limited, you can't get mad at him because he's slow.
Well, yeah, and if he's still doing things offensively, we're in a good spot. YouTube chat, PGA Pat, he's beaming, so you love to hear
love that
as well. And, you know, I think it would have to be a pretty bad stretch for this to go in a different direction, especially for the fans and what we've seen. There's no reason not to be. I mean, you've played the teams with, let's not forget, what were the Kings based on the odds? What did they land at, 15th? Best odds?
Yeah.
In terms of, to win the finals, so I think it was 15th.
So
the
Warriors, they're up there. The Lakers, they're up there. So besides the Jazz, you played two legit teams.
For sure.
You were in it for the most part with both of them. So you got to be happy about that. All right. Get into a break. When we get back, we're breaking down Brock Purdy. And I don't mean it's going to be, we'll be nice, but not too nice.
Yeah.
Because enough people are too nice.
Because he hasn't been very nice.
Exactly.
He hasn't been nice.
Exactly. Not to Niners fans.
Yeah.
Sal's and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.